Rishus, there's Kail, Tabak Kail, the whole night Kail. Topic center paper is Jewish appreciation. Topic was made up by Rish Kail, and I had to fill in the slot of what that means. Betson, there's two ways I understand Jewish appreciation. There's how Jews appreciate, how having a Karas HaTayv, how you didn't appreciate. That's what you, one way how to translate Jewish appreciation. And the second way is how to appreciate being Jewish. Two ways how to translate with Jewish appreciation. And tonight, hopefully, we'll be able to put the two things together, showing how Hakaras HaTayv is a very fundamental part of appreciating being a Yid and being a Jew. Starting off with Hakaras HaTayv, everybody knows that Hakaras HaTayv is not just plain saying thank you. Plain say thank you is just not what we call Hakaras HaTayv. They say a story about a couple that were having some Shalom Bayis issues. So the guy went to his Rebbe, asked him what he should do, some Eitzes, to help him out. So his Rebbe said, you know, whenever you get into, if you feel she's down a little bit, you have a little fight, you go and you buy her something small. It doesn't have to be something big, but you show some appreciation. You go and get her something small. That's a good way how to fix things up. So this guy was a smart guy. He's not going to go every day to the store. So he goes to the store, buys 10, 15 things, puts in the closet, says, listen, every time you feel you need something, go into the closet and take something. Of course, I tell you, she got something. She got thank you. She needed to get something. She got, that was a beautiful way how to show her. Of course, I tell you, what was wrong with the guy? What was the guy missing over here? She did something good to him. She did something nice. She wanted to feel appreciated. And she got something. What's this? He gave it to her. He got a thing. She got what she wanted to get. He showed her appreciation. Why? What was wrong with his technique? And why the chur and marriage don't last too long? We find very harsh words about lacking the midas of Hakaras HaTayv, what we call kofi toiv. It's brought down from the Mishnah Rebbe Elazar. It says that Shalom Yodas Yosef. In this week's parsha, it says that Yosef, your power didn't know Yosef. It says that Shalom Yodas Yosef. So the Mishnah Rebbe Elazar says that Pari may believe like he didn't know Yosef. He didn't recognize all the good things that Yosef did. Yosef saved Mitzrayim. Maybe he looks back and really Medrash brings down that in the beginning he didn't want to go to hurt the Jews. He said, how can we go hit the Jews? But you know, Yosef did. Yosef saved the whole Mitzrayim of starvation, saved the whole world of starvation, but specifically Mitzrayim, and he let them have their own land, and he really saved them and built up the whole place. He says, how could he go ahead and then go Yosef's nation, he'd go ahead and make them into Avodim, to make them into Meshavim, try to get rid of them. So the Medrash brings down the first thing they want, and then end up being doing it, and he ended up making believe like he didn't know Yosef, he didn't recognize that Yosef did, and he said that since Pari said that he was loyal to Yosef, he's going to end up, he's going to say Hashem, he's going to say Mi Hashem, he's going to be Koyfer Hashem. He says, we can. So that whoever Adam Zeh, Koyfer Toivah Shachaveir, a person that's Koyfer Toivah Shachaveir, he does not appreciate his friend, he doesn't say thank you. He's going to end up being Koyfer in the Toivah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's going to end up not recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Toivahs. He's going to end up being Koyfer Hashem. And that's why by Pari he said that Shalom Yodas Yosef, he ended up saying, Mi Zeh Hashem Asher Eshem B'Koyloi. Who is Hashem? I don't know who Hashem is. I don't know who Hashem is. So you see the harsh word of somebody does not have a Karas HaTayv, he ends up being a Koyfer Baker. Like, poor guy didn't say thank you, okay? So he didn't have such appreciation. He's lacking the meat of a Karas HaTayv. Why does it have to be that he's going to end up being a Koyfer? And we also find a few funny things in this week's parasha. I don't know if funny, but it's interesting. It says that this week's parasha together with next week's parasha, it says, next few weeks' parasha, next week. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to hit the sand. By the first, the water from Makas Dam and Makas Tfardea, and then he was not from Makas Kinyan, wasn't allowed to hit the sand. So they bring down the Mepharshim bring down the Gemara's Stammer and Midrashim. So the reason why he was not allowed to is because since the water saved him, in this week's parasha, he was put into the water and the water saved him, and the sand over in this week's parasha also saved him when he killed the Egyptian and he had to hide him somewhere, buried him in the sand. So it says that since the water saved him and the sand saved him, he couldn't hit it anymore. He says he can't be covered, it saved its life, he can't go ahead and then go ahead and hit it. What does it have to do with that Hakaras HaTayv? You have to have a Hakaras HaTayv. It's not Hakaras HaTayv. It's the water sand knows what's going on. It's the diamond. The water knows what's going on. Why should this have anything to do with Hakaras Nazir? What does he have to who? To what? What did they do to him? Okay, so he got saved from it. But and through that, but they don't recognize, they don't know anything about it. What does it have to do with that person? Why are these considered, why is this so important that he can't go ahead and do the Nisim and go to the same through because of the fact that he got saved from hitting the rock? So as we said before, of course, Hakaras HaTov is not just plain saying thank you. When I was bar mitzvah, after my mitzvah, they had to send out thank you cards. So my mother told me, I told my mother, you could just have these printed thank you cards, it'd be printed up, it says thank you for your wonderful present, you just saw your name on the bottom. My mother said, you can't do that, you have to write a personal note. I said, what's the difference? It's right, it's print out thank you cards, and mail the thank you card, it shows that I thank him. She said, no, it has to be a personal note. Because by Jews' appreciation, say thank you, the midah of Hakaras HaTov is not simply say thank you. It's a midah the person has to get for himself, that he has to recognize that someone did something good for him. It's that realization that someone did something else for him, it's for your own good, that Hakaras HaTov. It's not so much for the other person. It has nothing to do with the fact that the other person needs to get the thank you. The other person's a rock, the other person's a water, it has nothing to do with it. It's two points. The person that realizes I have to recognize that somebody did something good for me, and I have to not cover up, or I have to kafui toiv. The lashon of kafui toiv, I'm not sure exactly what the lashon of kafui toiv is, but it's something with ignoring the covering up the toiv. You're trying to show that you don't believe in the toiv. You're being kafir in the toiv, and that's not showing appreciation. Because the midah of kafui, the Hakaras HaTov is that you have to realize and appreciate that someone did something to you. It's that realization and knowing that the person is showing that, it's showing by the reason why you give somebody something because he did something for you, if you're showing that I am a person that recognizes, I am somebody that recognizes that somebody did something good for me. And if you don't, if you go do something to that person, that means I say, I don't see that the person did anything wrong. The guy didn't do anything for me. What did the guy say? Because if you realize the guy did something for you, then how could you go ahead and hit him? You're right, the rock won't know anything. The rock is not going to know. The water is not going to know anything. But you can't be a person that goes ahead and covers up and denies the good that someone else did for you. By going ahead and hitting the rock, or hitting the sand, or hitting the water, you're showing that I don't recognize that anybody did something good for me. Nothing to do with the receiver. The story was Sonnenfeld. He was Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. That someone came to invite him for a mitzvah. He was already old. And the guy, he lived a good half hour walk from his house. And out of respect, he knew he wasn't coming to his bar mitzvah. He was this Talmud. And he knew him since he was a little boy. And he knew he wasn't coming. But out of respect, he went to the Rav and invited him for a bar mitzvah. He says, my kid's becoming bar mitzvah. And I want to invite you for the bar mitzvah. He says, I know it's going to be too hard for you to walk. And Reis Chaim Taka says, you're right. It's going to be too hard. I'm sorry. Thank you so much for coming. Inviting me, but everybody knew that he wasn't walking a half hour for in his 90s to go to the bar mitzvah. He said, I invited for a mitzvah. Later, he made a small kiddush after the davening. Also, towards the end of the kiddush, also to see was the bar mitzvah was on the fourth floor. Also, looking down the steps, also to see the Beis of Chaim Zonnefeld walking up the steps, coming to the bar mitzvah. They go running down to come help him out. They come and sit him down. The mitzvah, I thought you're not coming. What happened? What changed? Why all of a sudden did you decide that you're gonna come? So he said, "I'll tell you the truth. I really was not up to coming, and it's not the right time, and I'm too old for this." He says, "But I felt I had to come. I'll say, curse, I tell you. Curse, I tell you what I do for you, Talmud." He says, "Yesterday you came over and you invited me to bar mitzvah, and I started thinking. I went there. I started thinking. I said, this guy." Kids becoming bar mitzvah. I remember this guy he himself was a little boy, and now look, now he's old enough. He got married, and he's old enough, and now he has kids becoming bar mitzvah. And time flies. This time's really moving along. I better start preparing myself for after 120. I better start doing tshuva. So he had a big hear of tshuva. He said, for that thing that I now because of you, I got to hear to do tshuva. Now I thought I. My days are numbered. I have to start thinking about it. Look, this kid already become mitzvah. This kid's kid is becoming bar mitzvah. This Talmud of mine. I remember when he was a little boy, and now he's becoming mitzvah. Time is moving right along. There's no time for anything. You got to do tshuva. I better start So because of that, he says, now I have a karas hatayv. That woke me up to do tshuva. I have to have a karas hatayv because of that. I had to come. I had no choice but to come. Over here we see that the person didn't even know he didn't do anything wrong today. He didn't realize, he didn't know he came and invited the person, for, he invited his Rebbe for his kid's bar mitzvah. And if you wouldn't have come, you would also would have never known that he did anything right. It's not like he felt he needed to, somebody had to get that karsa because the guy, he did me a favor, I have to give it to him because otherwise he's going to be hurt. He's going to feel hurt or anything. If somebody himself, he got something good from the person, so he feels he has to want to give something to somebody else because he recognizes that somebody, he wants to show that he recognizes that someone did something good for him. And since he recognized that somebody did something good for him, he feels that he had to go to the bar mitzvah, even though the person didn't know anything about it. He didn't know he woke him up. Says that he felt that since he got a good thing from that person, now he felt enough that even though it was against his health and it was not, he couldn't do it, he felt now he had to do it because he had a chiyuv. If he wouldn't have gone, he felt like he's covering up the good thing that the guy did for him. The guy did something good for him. He didn't realize it. He didn't know about it. He didn't even think he was doing. He wasn't trying to do anything good for him. But since the guy did something good for him, and he felt, he recognized that the guy did something good, he felt that if he wouldn't go now he's being kaifer toif. And if a person's kaifer toif, he does not recognize that somebody could do something good for him, somebody does something good for him, he says, okay, he doesn't realize it's not really him, it's not a thing, I got a thing. He's going to end up being kaifer, but tevasa shel makim. Why? As we know, we say one of the animam is animam b'munah shleimah, shakabaris b'ar shemoy, einay guf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ein guf, does not have a body. You can't conceptualize. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no way to imagine him. There's no dimin. There's no way how we could recognize. We have no way of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. He ain't a goof. So how are we supposed to have any connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How are we supposed to recognize him? We have to have Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem and everything. How are we going to get any connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We have no way of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ain't a goof. You're not a body. Ain't a goof. Like Sima Sigoof. We have no way of conceptualizing him. And there's no dimion. So how are we supposed to have any connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How are we supposed to get any connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So as you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called the Boyer Olam. He's the creator. The only way that we have any connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the fact that he's the creator. In the world, in the Gaish world, he's called the creator, the Boyer Olam. And that's the only way that we could recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning we could look in the world, as the Ram says, the way you want to come to Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem is looking into the world and seeing all the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us and all the wonderful things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. Tuesday nights you go to Chavis Lavavashir and get more in depth of all the wonderful things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. But if you look into any little thing, we see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, all the wonderful things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. Through that we can see there must be a creator. There must be somebody that did something good for us. And that's the only way that we have any way that we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the fact that he's a Boyer, he's a creator. And we recognize his creations. We recognize all the good things that he does for us and everything that he does. And that's the only way we can have a Shaykh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if somebody's lacking this need of recognizing the good, then of course he's not going to recognize Hashem. How is he supposed? He doesn't recognize that someone does something good for him. He doesn't realize. We can have good, you can have food, you can have clothes, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you clothes and food, and trees and grass, and house, and family, and kids, and everything. And you don't recognize it. Nobody did something good for me. So of course he'd be kaifer by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's b'meileh. If somebody does not recognize a good, he's lacking that meter. Anytime somebody does something good for him, he covers it up. He doesn't care, he doesn't feel like he's necessary for him. He could go and hit the person. He could go and he doesn't recognize the guy did anything good for him. He doesn't recognize the good. Then how is he going to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How is he going to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's not going to realize anything good happening in this world. To connect that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only way we could see the good, and we say this must be from somebody, must be from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now we get the Avas Hashem, we get the Yiras Hashem. And that's shot that Kaifer B'Tevas Shal Chaveir, somebody covers up and denies the good that somebody that his friend did for him, so he's going to end up denying the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for him. He's going to be Kaifer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's not going to recognize, he's not going to see the goodness of Hashem. And that's the importance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why in Yiddishkeit we find such an emphasis on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We find by Adam Rishon, we found what's the one of the tiniest, the first one of the first times we have on him. It says that she gave me the fruit by the apple. His brother came to him and says, why did you eat it? He says, Aisha Shenasatili. And the Rashi says right there, we can't shakofer b'tevasi. He was kofer in the toivet. It was a kriyas derech. His brother gave you a present, gave you a wife. And first thing, you start blaming her. That's the lack of akaras ha-toivet. So with this point of not appreciating the good things that we have, maybe we could answer a question. Most people don't ask this question. It's only why I have the right to ask the question. Everybody knows this. Why did Shiva Mitzrayim? Why there was Shiva Mitzrayim? But Reb Shalom should ask. Well, we don't find any great einish that Klal Yisrael did in order to deserve such a harsh Shibud. Perhaps we say that it's a Kor Barzal and everything else, but Reb Shalom should don't ask this question. Now, what did the Jews deserve? What did the Jews do to deserve the great harsh Shibud that they got? Probably learning the Psukim. You have to learn Psukim by the. And the Bris Ben Amasarim, exactly how it worked and why the promise was of Amir Shana. But he asked this question. He asked, why what's the terrible thing that they did in order to deserve such a punishment? So he goes through the Psukim and he says, this week's parasha says, Vnei Yisrael, Por, Vayir, Shutsu, Vayirbu, Vayatsim, Moj, Moj, Vasimola, Oritz, Aysam. Kaisol, they became, there was a lot of them and there was Yishutsu. Lost in sherets, it was like this not nice way to say that they got a lot of them. But Yibum Ma'atzim Moiz became strong. There were a lot of them. Became strong, right? And the whole land got full of them. So Rav Shalom asked the Chur. It says this already before. It says in Pashas in Pashas Vayigash Vayishav he stole Beretz Yisrael Beretz Goshen Vayachzuba Vayif Vayirum Moiz. Says they became land. They sat in the land of Goshen and they were in the land and there was a lot of people. So why did you say again over here? So he says, if you look into the Psukim, you see there's a few extra words in this week's parasha. First of all, it says Vayishrutzu. It's a Lashon Sheretz. It's not a nice way how to bring out the fact that it became a lot of them. Vayatzmu Moed Batzimala Oritzis, and the whole land became full of them. It became the whole land. It says, when in Parshas Vayigash, it says, Vayishrutzu, we stole Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Be'eretz Goshen. It says they sat in Eretz Goshen. Vayechzubo. They were in that land. Vayifurayim Moed. It was all in Eretz Goshen. Said the problem was, he says, when Yaakov Avinu was around, before everybody died, he says Klal Yisrael stayed within the boundaries of Goshen. Goshen was the place where Yaakov Avinu sent Yehuda down to Mitzrayim to build a Beis Hayirah, a Beis Medrash that he should learn. And the whole time that Yaakov was around, and all the Shvatim were around, all the Gdolim from the generations from before around. Klal Yisrael stay within generation. They realize they have to be separated from the Goyim. They have to be only with the Jews and not to be together with the Goyim. It says only after everybody died, all the tzaddikim died. Now they weren't anymore so embarrassed to go see what's going on the other side of the fence to check out what's going on in Mitzrayim. They started going that Vasimola or Tzoysom. They got the Shutsu. They went out. They went out a little bit out of the boundaries of Goshen. They wanted to check out what's going on in Mitzrayim. They wanted to see what's going on. And the Medrash brings down that they went to their stadiums and they went to the dance houses. They went out to the different dance houses and they were really hanging out. They were trying to cover up their bismillah. They were trying to be exactly like the Mitzrayim. Shalom Zadon points out that it's a little funny because it said that they didn't change the clothes and their lashonim. Lashonim is mabusham lashonim. They didn't change the mabusham lashonim. They said they were wearing the same Jewish clothing. They're walking around with the shrine with some bekishes and they were speaking Yiddish. But they were going to the stadiums. They were sitting in the stadiums and sitting in the dance houses. They got into the casino over there to get some Jewish music going on over here, some Yiddish songs, all this stuff. But they were trying to mingle together with the goyim. So Shalom says that was the problem. That started off the whole Shibud. As we know, there's an old problem that Yidden trying to assimilate with the Goyim, try to make the Goyim feel like we're part of them. And the truth is that it's exactly the other way around. Because everybody knows that if the Jews keep away, if you keep away from the Goyim, they respect you a lot more. If you don't try to be part of them and try to be smack with them and see all the fun, They have a be'etzin, they have a real a great appreciation for the Yidden. They say a story. There's a story that the lady that she lost her pocketbook. She lost her pocketbook on the train. She mama had a lot of cash. There was a lot of cash inside, and there was credit cards. But the main part, she was scared about her cash. The mama had $2,000 of cash she lost, and she was going out of her mind. She was searching everywhere she can. She didn't know what to do. She came home. All of a sudden, she hears her daughter says, "You have a phone call." There's a phone call from some black ladies calling you. So she will call Mrs. Cash. She says, "Oh, is your name Mrs. Cash?" She says, "Yeah." She says, "Did you lose your wallet?" She says, "Yeah." She says, "Well, we found it. We found your pocketbook." She says, "Okay, fine. I'll come and get it." She says, "No, we'll bring it over." So she says, "Fine." She says, she's all excited. The kids are a few hours later. She assumed she'll get a wallet and something, she'll get a credit card. She didn't assume she didn't get any cash back or anything. The kids are a big shvartz, it was a big lady shvartz, a big man shvartz, a big couple. They come in with her pocketbook. The kids are, she doesn't believe it. She opens up, she sees all the cash is still there, everything's still inside. She's like, "This is unbelievable." She says, "Could I please give you some reward or something? You can take a few hundred dollars, take a she had $1,000 in the pocketbook." Mom, she was. And she said, "No, take your word." She says, "I take nothing." She says, "What can I do for you?" She says, "Give me a blessing." She's like, "What?" She's like, "Give me a blessing." She says, "What? Explain yourself." She says, "Listen, my mama told me that whenever you have a chance to get a blessing from the children of Israel, you get a blessing from the children of Israel." She's like, she says, "That's what my mama told me. And I don't want any money. I just want a blessing from the children of Israel." Fine, she gives her bracha, she says, "Have a long life," and Richas Yamim, and say, "Yeshua, it's good." She says, "Say that." On the way back, her husband Leroy said, "You're crazy, what are you doing, Samantha? I told you, what are you doing? You should have taken some of the money, you give me the thing." Kids are taking the train back, and she said, "No, my mama said, you have a chance to take a blessing from the children of Israel, you take a blessing from the children of Israel." I'm like, fine. On the train back, all of a sudden, Leroy starts getting a stomach kick. Stomach starts turning. He could barely make it to the nearest bathroom. He's gone. He's like, "Yo, man, I told you not to do that. I told you should have just kept the money and nothing. See, what could happen with the blessing and all that stuff? I tell you, it was nothing." She says, "My mama told me, you have a chance to get a blessing from the children of Israel. You get a blessing from the children of Israel." The kids, as they get home, Leroy is flat out in his bed. He's gone. He can't move. A few hours later, Samantha, she has to make the nearest dash to the bathroom. She's also stomach, they're finished there. They don't know what's going on. They're like screaming, Leroy screaming at the man. "I told you, look what this blessing is doing to us. This is terrible. Look what this thing is doing." I said, "Look, I'm not going to be able to go to work tomorrow. You're messing up our life over here." She said, "Listen, this is what my mama told me. We don't ask questions." The kids, the next morning, they turn on the news, and they both worked in the Twin Towers, and it was September 11, 2001. And they both didn't go to work. Samantha told Leroy, he says, "I told you, Mama said, you get a blessing from the children of Israel." Because we see this, the Yidden have respect. The Goyim have respect for the Yidden. There's a respect, a built-in respect, but it's in that if we keep away, if we show our own, our chashivas, we go around and we keep our own stolz, we keep our own respect, then the Goyim respect us, and they don't try to start up with us. The only time that the Goyim start up with us, the only time that the Goyim start trying to start up was only we trying to become like in this time again in history. Through the years, we had this, that whenever we try to get closer to the Goyim, if backfires, as everybody brings a mussel, the Yid and the Goyim are like oil and water. If we keep away, it's fine. When it's all mixed up, then something has to happen to separate us. And that's when all the tzaras happen. When we're trying to become like the Goyim, we're trying to be like them, we're trying to be together with the Goyim, that's when all the problems start happening. And that's all, but it's a lack of appreciation what we have. That's a lack of appreciation what Yiddishkeit is. If we would recognize and would realize what a treasure we have, what a schus we have to be able to that we're Yidden, and that we have the opportunity to do the mitzvahs, like we say, Rotzak HaShbochu L'Zakeh Yisrael L'Fikah Chibra L'Entayah Mitzvahs. HaShbochu wanted to give us schusim. So that's what we have in the mitzvah. It's not just a pain, something we have to do. It's something we should want to do. It's a schus to be able to be a Yid. We have a schus to be able to do the mitzvahs. A lot of the mitzvahs things that we're going to do anyways. So we put on our shoes in the morning. So everybody puts on their shoes in the morning anyways. So you put on the right shoe before you put on the left shoe. You already got yourself a mitzvah. You think for a second, I'm doing a mitzvah. I just did a mitzvah. It's things what you're going to do. You put on clothes. So you put on spirit tzitzis. So you're wearing clothes anyway. Everybody's wearing clothing. So now you're wearing tzitzis. You got yourself a mitzvah. So a lot of the things that we do is anyway things which we have to do anyways. We have to eat. So you make a bracha before. Now you uplifted the whole eating. Every one of the, a lot of the things which you're going to do anyways. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu wanted, we have a schus that we can do the mitzvahs. And we have to appreciate and walk around with our heads up about the fact that we have the opportunity to do the mitzvahs. So there are waxes, said a story that his shver, his father-in-law was already in a coma. He was, so before he died, the week before he died, he was already out the whole time. He was out of it. So it's Friday afternoon, a few hours before Shkia, he was out the whole week. The whole week you couldn't speak to him, you couldn't open his eyes. All of a sudden he woke up and he said, "What time is it? What is it?" She said, "It's Friday afternoon." He says, "It's still before Shkia." "Okay, fine, pass me a pair of tefillin." Quickly went, he put on a pair of tefillin. Half hour before Shkia, he said, "Kriya Shema." He took off two turned of tefillin, fell back on his bed. He didn't wake up till Motzei Shabbos. See, when he was nifter, and Motzei Shabbos he was nifter. Hell, they could think. Mamash, a few hours before he was nifter. He had an opportunity, a mitzvah, to be able to do tefillin. So he said he told it to a certain gadol. He says, "You know what? This morning I also put on tefillin, said Kriya Shema. I also did that today." He says, "But how come it's not such a wow? It's not." "Yeah, right. A few minutes before the guy died, he went and put on this and that. Yeah, Meirdik." Says, "If a person would have that Meirdikkeit, how great it is. Yeah, you could do a few minutes before. Every day you could feel that same Yishmak, the same Meirdikkeit about doing the mitzvahs and be doing the mitzvahs with Simcha and realize what a great thing we have that we do the mitzvahs. Then of course you wouldn't want to be like this. We're not going to try to want to see what's going on the side. We have such a great thing within us. We have such a great source to be able to do the mitzvahs. And the lack of doing the mitzvahs with simchas, that's really the foundation, not appreciating, not realizing what we have, and doing the mitzvahs with simcha is really the reason why we always, people trying to see what's another side, what do the goyim have? Maybe they look like they're so happy, they're so excited, maybe there's something there. Maybe if we follow them, maybe if we go like them. And it goes step by step and step by step until you think, yeah, maybe if I just be like this, then I'll be happy, then I'll be excited. And the goyim said, that's like shayis amayim aluchim. He says, trying to go after the guy I'm trying to do itivus is like drinking salt water. Right away, someone's very thirsty, he drinks a couple of salt water, he says, right. And a second later, he's more thirsty. Because you feel, yeah, if I do this now, I'm going to be happy. But then you're more unhappy. Because your shama's driving to do mitzvahs, your shama wants to do to have mitzvahs. But you're filling up that will to be happy with something which is lacking, which is something nothing, and the next day you're even less happy than you were before. But if a person would realize that the mitzvahs and the opportunities that he has, and he would do it with simcha and make it that this is what he wants to do, this is his will, he doesn't want anything else, this is what he wants to do, this is his will, because he loves Hashem and he wants to do his mitzvahs, and he realizes the opportunity to do the mitzvahs, and of course he's not interested in what's on the other side, he's not interested in what the goyim have, it's all silly, it's all garbage, he's not interested in it. I saw a word that says that by a Malik. It says, the Pasuk says, "Oyev the Klaisa, well, Oyev v'yogea v'lo yoyer elikim." They were tired and worn out, and they didn't fear Hashem. So I think they say from the Kotzke, it says that when a person is Oyev v'yogea and avoyis Hashem, he says, "Why?" When a person is like, "Hey, he's doing the mitzvahs, he's got to do the mitzvahs, this is what he's got to do, he's doing it, he's Oyev v'yogea, he's worn out, he's not too interested in it." So that comes from a lack of yor lo yoyer elikim. Someone that's Oyev again is avoyis Hashem. When he's coming, he's all worn out, he's not doing it with the right zest and the right, then that comes from the lack of Yerei Elokim, because you don't appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't have the right HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So with this in mind, we're saying that the lack of appreciation, that's what caused the lack of appreciation for the mitzvahs, the lack of appreciation for all of Yiddishkeit, and therefore we had to try to mingle with the Goyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us Pari. Pari was the one that said, Asher lo yoda es Yosef, and end up being Asher mi Hashem, the one that symbolized the lack of Akar Satoiv. So it's Bohu sent Paroi, Bedavka, to go and be Meshabalos, to go put us into Shibu, but through Paroi, that he's the one that lacked in Avodis in this Midah of Akar Satoiv, to show us, you're not appreciating what you have, I'm going to send you somebody that doesn't appreciate either. He's lacking the appreciation. And who did the Gula had to come through? The Gula had to come through Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, we see, was Mitzrayim. He had the murder kamida of Akar Stev. He didn't want to hit the water. He didn't have. He wanted to hit the sand. And more than that, we see that the whole Geula was dependent on this Akar Stev. It said Moshe Rabbeinu was Akbochu told Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Mitzrayim to go save the Jews. So he says that when before he went, he said he went. He had to go. He went to ask Yisroi. Says he went back to Yisroi. And he asked him permission. He says, "You want to ask El Chavoshu?" He says, "Please, can I go back and go save my Jews?" So Akash Bochum just told you all the Jews were suffering for 210 years already. They're suffering. They're in Mitzrayim. They're under Shiva and Mitzrayim over there for things. And Shibachu just told you, "Now you're the Savior. You're the Messiah. You're here to go." He said, "What are you going to ask him?" Yeah, he said, "When he tells you no, then what are you going to do?" Akash Bochum said to go. He says, "Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go without Yisrael opened up his house for him." Says he pasach lebeisa, he opened up his house and he did something good. He just walked away without asking permission, without saying thank you, without anything. That would be the biggest mitzvah of lack, the biggest lack of Kurs HaToyv. Even if this whole thing depended on the Geula of Klal Yisrael, there was no way that he could go even save Klal Yisrael if it's going to be at the expense of Kurs HaToyv. As we said, the whole Shibud came from the fact that they were lacking the appreciation. So now the Geula had to come only through the fact that we recognize the good things that people do for us, and all the good that we have, and really the whole name of Yehudim. So they say from, I think also Reb Sonnenfeld says that the whole name. Why we called Yehudim? Why we called Jews? Jews is from Yehuda. Says because that comes from Lashon Hatu Yeducha, from that the term Apam Hoidel Hashem, thanking Hashem. The whole name of Yehudim, the fact that we have the ability to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything and recognizing all the good things, that's the whole name of Yehudim, that's where it comes from. And it says that someone says over something from the name of somebody else, that brings the Geula. So the way some want to understand it is the fact that somebody recognizes the person that someone else did something good. It wasn't me, it wasn't my own good. It was the appreciation that it was from somebody else. Somebody else told me something good, and it was from him. And through that, we take takah of the geula. If we take appreciate all the good things that we have, and through that, we do our mitzvahs b'simcha, and we do that's what we want to do. It's not something we have to do. It's something the mitzvahs that we want to do, and not just. I think this is what I got to do. As Rashi always says, it says people say it says esmin van mevil learn lem van vidaf. He says you eat. You go, why do you eat? He says I want to eat. Then you want. He said, what do you learn? I got to go daven. I got to go learn. I got to go daven. See, it should be the other way around. I want to go daven. I have to eat. This is what I got to do. So if we go ahead, we taka do our mitzvahs and simcha. We do it because we appreciate that it's a schos and we appreciate that it's taka the will. We do it b'simcha. Mitzvah that taka should be to bring us the ultimate gula and we should be zeche to be as Mashiach came. Amen.